Hello, 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 everyone. You're now tuned in to Unorthodox Real, and this is your host, Relicious, and I'm back to my regular scheduled programming of interviews. So today, I have a special guest with me, Courtside Obi. Please introduce yourself to the people.
What's going on, everyone? Courtside Obi here. Some people call me the Wolf of West Bloomfield. I'm just kidding.
Wait, do they really?
No. Only like two people for real.
I'm weak. Okay, so yes, Obi is here and we're going to be discussing things all, well, it's going to be finance, you know, investment. We're going to dabble a little bit into some streetwear. But first, please tell people a little bit more about yourself.
Okay, so for starters, I'm 23. I was born in Southfield, moved to West Bloomfield about the end of middle school, ended up graduating, just graduated from Michigan State in May, 2020 grads.
Hey,
I currently work at a tax and accounting technology company. I have two YouTube channels. I have a finance YouTube channel where we basically just get into investing a lot. And then I have a lifestyle and streetwear YouTube channel, which is Courtside Obi, where you guys can also follow me on Instagram.
Yes, we will be talking a little bit more about that towards as the podcast progresses. But first, I'm going to do some rapid fire questions so y'all can get to know Obi a little bit more. So what is one thing you would put on your bucket list right now?
Oh my gosh, one thing I would put on my bucket list right now is definitely traveling. Like, I feel like, yeah, I've been stuck in the house for a long time.
that's a fact.
Everyone's getting all stirred up. Just want to take a nice little trip and get a break from all this work.
Where would you go?
A place that I have for sure on my bucket list is Milan.
I feel that. Are you a morning or a night person?
Definitely a morning person.
Yeah. What is one thing that annoys you the most?
When people are late, because honestly, I feel like when people are not punctual, it's kind of like disrespectful of your time.
That's a fact. So what is your lifelong dream?
My lifelong dream is actually to run a successful business and take care of my family in that regard.
That's real. So what new technology do you think will transform the future?
I actually kind of look at disruptive technologies every day. That's something that I tend to invest in. But the biggest thing that I look at right now is EV technology, electric vehicles, and autonomous driving.
Please tell the people what that means, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, electric vehicles are basically going to have this huge shift that ends up disrupting traditional vehicles and legacy automakers, because battery technology is just getting better over time. And actually, when you look at the numbers, the cost of buying an electric vehicle and getting into one is actually cheaper from a return on investment perspective than buying a new vehicle that uses an internal combustion engine.
So we should all get Teslas, is what you're saying.
I mean, eventually we all will be in electric yeah. vehicles, but right now it's not practical for most people, because the cheapest Tesla, $33,000, the Model 3, a lot of people aren't going to be paying for that. So a lot of people end up going with what's available and practical already, which are like Chevy, you know, new cars that start at like 20K.
Yeah. So what's your favorite song right now?
My favorite song right now, oh, Go Crazy, Chris Brown.
Okay, so now that y'all have a little bit of taste of what Courtside is all about, we're going to go into the meat of the podcast. So we're going to be talking about what makes you unorthodox, you know, your YouTube channel, investing, streetwear, all that stuff. So first, I want to ask, like, what makes you unorthodox?
What makes me unorthodox is I feel like I'm not really that type of person who tries to fit in. Mm-hmm. I'm someone who just like does things that are in my opinion, kind of disruptive. I don't dress the same as anyone else. I have my own style, so I'm in that lane. And I do a lot of stuff like fashion, business, investing. And even when I invest, I don't take a traditional approach, which is why I've been able to accumulate extremely high returns by doing stuff that's not necessarily recommended by by people in the financial realm.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. How did you get into investing to start off?
Okay, so it's actually a funny story. I was actually I want to say this the right way so I don't offend nobody, but I was actually with somebody who kind of made me feel a little less, I guess.
In terms
And
of and like in terms of, like financially.
I guess you could say it like that, but it wasn't really like that. It was basically like okay, so long story short, I was studying, I was part of the sales leadership minor at Michigan State. My mom, when I first got into college, I was studying biomedical science. I never wanted to study biomedical science, but my parents, they put that on me and they basically said, "You don't need to do anything business related, like that doesn't work out. You know how Nigerian parents do." So it was basically that, and I with that I had like a chip on my shoulder to kind of like prove them wrong and say and show them like I can be successful doing what I want to do. And then I ended up being with somebody and they said that I was not going to be. We got into like arguments and stuff, and then one time it just like got out of hand and they said like, "Yeah, and you're never gonna like do anything like worth doing with what you're doing or whatever." So then I just had like all this fuel in my back and like a chip on my shoulder to kind of like prove these people wrong. So that summer I ended up getting an internship at a tax and accounting technology where I learned a lot about the tax code and how the rich are kind of benefiting from being business owners and being able to open their own businesses and deduct stuff and save on taxes at the expense of pretty much the poor. But all this information is out there. People in our community just don't have it. So from that point on, I started watching this YouTube channel about real estate investing. And I knew, and then I have a friend, his name's Aaron, and that's kind of what he did as well. He was super into real estate investing. So we would bounce ideas off each other and we'd be like, "Yeah, we got to save up for these down payments and buy these cribs." And I was like, "It's going to take me forever to save up for some money to buy a crib." So my other friend who was into stocks, he's like, "You got to do this. Like, this is going to help you go so much faster. You got to learn about the stock market." So he taught me a lot of stuff about the stock market. I actually started listening to him, made a little bit of money, then I ended up losing more than I ever made listening to him. And I kind of just took it serious from that point on, reading a whole bunch of like business books. This is Principles by Ray Dalio, super thick book. Just like stuff like that. I have a whole bunch of books over here, and then watching a ton of YouTube videos, and invest putting my own money on the line. So that motivated me to kind of understand everything a lot more.
That's real. That's real. So what would you tell somebody who wants to start getting into investing? Like, what's the first thing they should do? Because I know you had like people around you who were kind of into that, and so they were telling you what to do, what not to do, but some people don't have that. And I know that in the Black community, a lot of people say like people don't know about financial literacy, like they don't even know where to get started. It's not taught in school. So how would you tell somebody who wants to get started, what should they do?
I would say the first thing you can do is invest in a book. Like a lot of times people say the best investment you can make is honestly in knowledge. And that's actually true because you don't want to just go put your money into the market. Like even right now, the stock market's probably like the most dangerous place to be because stocks are extremely overvalued due to like all the money printing and then the Fed cutting interest rates. So people are throwing their money into the market, trying to chase the yield and get a higher return and stuff like that. So stocks are overvalued. And if you put your money in an overvalued stock, it might be, it better be a good company and eventually it'll recover, but you don't want to wait that long for it to recover, or it might trade flat for a while and then your money's basically just sitting there. So you definitely want to get started with a book, in my opinion.
So what recommendations other than the book that you said, like, would you tell people to read?
Other than the book, I would say there's a couple Warren Buffett books on investing. I tend to take like his approach. I'm mm-hmm. a long-term investor. I don't, a lot of people day trade, but mm-hmm. 99% of day traders lose their money. Mm-hmm. And people are attracted to it because you can make so much money really quickly, but it's actually like the quickest way to blow your account if you don't know what you're doing.
What are day traders? Are those like the Forex people?
No. Forex traders, they trade currency.
Okay.
Day traders are people who jump in and out of a stock multiple times in okay. one day.
Mm. Okay,
me,
so
I just buy and hold for I try to buy and hold for years on years.
Isn't that what they say you should be doing?
That is what you should be doing.
Okay.
Everybody knows better.
Okay, so what made you start a YouTube channel? So I want to start with your first YouTube channel, like Courtside OB. What made you start it?
When did you start it? Oh, okay. Yeah, so I started this. So before I ever went to Michigan State, I was actually at Grand Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at Grand Valley, it just wasn't like, no offense to school, it was a great school and everything was nice, but it just mm-hmm. wasn't the place for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I really felt like I just didn't fit in over there, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be just chilling by myself, reading up on like fashion blogs and Reddit and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know what? I should start a YouTube channel because like I'm just buying all these clothes and it's like, it's not like I was just buying them just to show them off. I was like, I'm truly into like design and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, I feel like I have like ideas and I can put together nice outfits and maybe something could come out of this. So let me just start a YouTube channel and share my ideas with the world, I guess.
So what was the one video that took off for you on Courtside OB? If I'm not mistaken, I think I remember which video this was.
What video do you think it was?
Wait, was it the one where you got scammed? But
that one for sure did numbers, but that was not it.
Okay, what was it?
The video that actually took off was my first video,
mm-hmm.
and it was Raph Simmons kind of said some negative stuff about Virgil Abloh. And this is way before everyone was talking about Off-White, like, I got two Virgils on me. This was in 2016, so I've been on that, just saying.
Y'all, I want y'all to know that OB low-key been on stuff before a lot of people in terms of fashion. Because I will never forget, this man used to be rocking stuff that nobody really knew what it was back in like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And then my mom always said, like, man, OB really be dressing like...
Like Ranch.
It's true. He really be dressing like Ranch. Like you can't deny that, but
thank you.
But so what made you keep going with the Courtside OB YouTube channel, and why did you make the switch to Courtside OB to Courtside Financial?
So I ended up taking a break from Courtside Financial because from Courtside OB, sorry, because after the summer, I was doing my internship in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting money and I was getting clothes and I had a lot more free time to post. And then I had to come back to school
mm-hmm.
and I had to do a lot of stuff for my minor. I had to get a whole bunch of hours to graduate. I had to go to classes. I had to study for tests. And I was like, yeah, I don't really have time to be going outside right now and filming an outfit video or
mm-hmm.
just like posting on here consistently, because the videos on Courtside OB took a lot more energy and effort
mm-hmm.
than the videos on Courtside Financial. And
mm-hmm.
Courtside Financial, it's more of like a solo thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can be on there and I can just do my research. Like literally As soon as we get off this call, I'm about to jump right back in, and I have like a notebook literally full of stuff that I do every morning. But it's like a solo thing. I can do my research, write down my ideas, come out with my video, record it, edit it myself, and upload it myself. With Courtside, Obi, it's like, hey, can you film me and doing this video? Oh, I'm busy today, bro. So like this, I can go as hard as I want and put out as much stuff as I want.
Yeah, so let's talk about it, because the growth, man, and also you low-key been trying to be very low-key with the whole Courtside Financial, but if you listen to this, you now know about it, and you should go subscribe, because Mans has amounted to over 1K in a month.
Yeah, I think we're at 1.6K now. We're about to hit 2 probably in a week.
Please, let's talk about it, because some people work hard for years trying to get 1K. So let's talk about what you think your formula was to reaching 1K in a short amount of time.
I know, because Courtside Obi, that one is at 435. And like I said, like I couldn't be consistent on there because I always needed somebody else to help me out. With this, I can be a one-man team and put and work as hard as I want. So the biggest thing right here is consistency. I have people, I have an audience that waits on me pretty much every day. Yesterday, I posted 2 videos, and they're like, 2 videos in one day? Wow. And I'm like, dang, maybe I'll post 3 today.
No, for real. And I saw one of the videos, it was like less than one day, already hit 1K. I was like, oh, people, you really have an audience now just waiting for you to post, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, be consistent. Talk about stuff that you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. Talk about stuff that, and then number 3 is provide value. Because with what I'm doing, people, there's a reason that they watch, because they want to have my analysis. They want to have my research that I'm doing, even though I tell them that this is not financial advice. This is just me sharing my research and my ideas. And it's super important to do your own research and come to your own conclusions. They still want a second opinion. So that, because I might think about it in a way that they hadn't even thought about. So that's why people are, the channel's continuing to grow.
That's amazing. So what has influenced you the most so far in your life? Because I know you started from like in college doing STEM, and then now you've transferred to business, and now you're probably going to even go farther more in finance and investing. So what has influenced you so far?
I guess like every time somebody tells me that there's like something that I can't do, I guess that just really just like pushes me. Like I just like feed off of energies, I guess. Whether it's like inspirational, I feel like I draw inspiration from a lot of people. Like I would have never gotten into fashion in the first place if it wasn't for Kanye. There's numerous people that I could say that I draw inspiration from when it comes to investing or just like being the best that you could be. Like I just read the book Black Privilege, Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It by Charlemagne the God. And that's something that kind of motivates me.
That but book is really good. I think everyone should read it. I've read it. It's really good.
So it's just like things like that. And then, like I said, like I always have this memory of my mom saying, you need to study biomedical science, like the business thing. You might lose your job. Well, now I have a company, so there's no job to lose. You know, exactly. I can work as hard as I want to work. And then I have the YouTube channel, and then I'm also doing other things that with my friends like Michael and Cheesy and
Sierra. Shout out to the gang.
We have a sneaker. We are reselling sneakers. They get a whole bunch of them, and I'm basically just involved in the profit sharing with Michael, but because I don't have time to like go buy sneakers anymore, but I basically invest with him. That's what happens there. So it's like now it's like kind of just building this fortress. So no matter what my job says, if my job says like, oh, well, we don't have enough money to keep you on the payroll tomorrow, then we're always covered. So it's just kind of that thing of trying to educate. And then I want to educate the African-American community so that we can go farther as a people eventually. So I'm trying to build up this big platform right now so that I could eventually do that. So that's basically just it. I just have like these long-term goals and stuff like that. Chips on my shoulder just kind of motivate me.
That's real. So I want to talk a bit more about the streetwear side of you. So what made you start caring about what you wore? I know like some people don't really care about what they got on. They just wear what's convenient to them. But what made you feel like, okay, like let me actually look presentable, put things together, not just walk out the house looking anyhow.
Wow, that's a great question because literally I always think about this too. Dang, I really am not trying to really put people out there like this, but I'll just say that in high school, let's say freshman year, never really cared about what I wore. Like I would just pull up in like white t-shirt, sweatpants, flip-flops pretty much every day. And then there was this girl that I had a crush on, literally, and she was like so into she was so into kind of like streetwear and like Kim Kardashian and Kanye. And I was like, I would literally be like, bro, you talk about Kim Kardashian too much. Like, who cares? And then one, and then like she like started. I mean, like I don't want to get too like deep into this, but she literally we fell out over some stuff, and then basically I just like started to look up Kanye when I got home and go back and reminisce, and I just play the music and I'd be at the crib just vibing. I'd be like, dang, this is what I've been missing out on. So I literally like went back, downloaded all the Kanye albums, became the biggest Kanye fan, got so invested, and I'm like, this
Okay,
man just like crazy.
side note, me and Monica, if you're listening to this, we always call you Kanye. We don't call you Obi, we call you Kanye.
Oh my God.
But continue, continue.
A bunch of people say that, but it's funny because I don't really even dress like him that much
Yeah, you
anymore.
don't, which is
But I used to be like super Kanye, like my whole wardrobe. But
But continue your story.
oh yeah, so basically like after that, like I just like got real crispy, jumped crispy out of nowhere, came back to WB, and then she was like, the girl was like, you switched up real fast, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And then she's like, you know what I'm talking about. So then basically it was like from that point on, we eventually fell out, but like that was something that stuck with me, and I always remember her for that.
That's real. So, what are your favorite brands right now that you wear or like are watching out for? I know you're more into the finance side now, but it's like obviously you probably still watch the streets, so
I still keep a little eye out, but I like Y3, I like Raf Simons, I like Pierre Moss. I really love Pierre Moss right now. Support Black business.
You feel me?
Yeah, I don't really, as far as like designer, I'll say I'm not really too big on it anymore now that I'm getting more into the finance side, because just reading all these books and learning all that stuff, I'm starting to see that a lot of like the most wealthy people on the planet, they don't really care about what they're wearing. So for me, it's just like make it look good. And obviously, like money, you don't have to be extremely frugal or anything with it. You don't have to make 20-cent iced coffee every day or anything like that.
Awesome, Graham Stephan.
Yeah, it's good to spoil yourself. It's good to spoil yourself with stuff you like, because for me, that's something that actually makes me go harder in what I'm doing.
That's real because a lot of people, I always say, like, ain't nothing wrong with having nice things, man. We deserve nice things in life. We don't gotta be frugal. Like, even Graham Stephan, I know he'll never be listening to this, but if he so happens to listen to this, the whole 20-cent iced coffee, not going to Starbucks, that's like OD to me. Like, especially for somebody who makes millions of dollars. But you know, people choose to use their money the way they want. Like, if you want to buy nice things, buy it because it's gonna last. You can resell it for more or less, but you gonna get some return on investment for any designer thing that you buy.
You only
So
live once.
For real. So next, I want to talk about what you've learned about yourself during quarantine because we've been in the house for like 4 months now. So what do you think is the thing that you've learned about yourself, you've grown in, anything?
I've learned about myself that I waste a lot of time. Because literally, because I actually I just had to stop. I had to stop paying so much attention to people and spending so much time with certain people because now it's like you got to get this video out. Like you better put your phone on Do Not Disturb. You better turn your phone off. And if and then like people will be like, bro, just don't put out a video today. You don't put out like four videos already. I'm like, bro, I gotta keep my foot on the gas.
Period. You
So
really
like
do.
literally before I started this channel, I had all the time in the world. Like I could lay around, watch YouTube, watch Netflix. Now every month I have like this app called Mint that tracks my spending.
I got
So
mints too.
there
It's
you
fire.
go.
I'm trying to get on your level. Yo, I'm subscribed to your channel. I be watching sometimes, even though I don't know anything you're talking about, except for that Real Real video. I knew a little bit what you
Oh
were
yeah,
talking
I saw
about.
you watch that.
That was a
But
good video, but.
what was I gonna say? Yeah, I'll see Mint. It'll see it. Netflix charge your account $13. I haven't watched Netflix in like 3 months, and they stay charging me. Like I literally don't have the time no more.
Cancel your subscription. I did it. I don't got
I
no
don't cancel it because on
Netflix.
weekends, like I might go hang out with like a friend of mine, or like they might come over, and then we might want to like watch a movie or something. So I just let it run, but it's like, dang, like I really should cancel.
You should. Wait, why you have the $13 one where you can get the $7.99?
I
Or is it
don't
eight? See, that stuff. You
know.
need to be mindful.
Yeah.
But is there, so you said you waste a lot of time, but you're obviously working on that because now you pumping out videos, multiple videos in a day. So is there anything else you've noticed or learned about yourself during this time?
I guess I learned to believe in myself more because I remember like my first video on this channel. I'm like, bro, you're literally just talking. And then I put it out, and I guess people like got what I had to say. Next video, I put it out. Those first two videos didn't get that many views. And then I did the third video, and then that one just kind of like took off. And then people were like, keep going, bro. I think you have like a future in this. But then the more videos I put out, everyone's like, another great video, another great video, another great video. I don't know if they're gassing me
Nah, it is okay for someone who doesn't know anything about what you are talking about. I learned stuff from watching it, which is what is should be the outcome, which you said is what you want the outcome to be. Like anyone should be able to access what you have and then learn something from it. I feel like I learned something from it, even though I have no idea what you're talking about, but it's like that's why I watch, so I can learn.
Yeah, that's pretty much the whole point, the whole selling point.
Honestly, the consistency is there, and there's not that many black people who are talking about finance on YouTube,
That's what my
so
friend was saying. He's like,
it's
you're
really
popping
not.
off because one, people want to hear from someone who's black right now. And I was like, good. So like, I'll just this should be the time. This is the time for it.
For real. So, my last question, what advice would you give to your younger self?
If I had advice to give to my younger self, I would just say, bro, don't get that PlayStation, don't get that Xbox, don't buy those $1,000 sneakers yet. Just wait. Just put that money in the market. Because if I were to put the money in the market, I wouldn't even be here right now. Like I'd be on the island. Literally.
Said you would not be chilling at Oakland County right now. You would be on somebody's, your, not somebody's, your own yacht, your own island, because you invested
Probably
that money.
somebody's, but I would be on the island. Because literally, I just had a phone call yesterday with one of the subscribers on my channel, and he is 45, and he invested in Amazon. He bought 700 shares in 2007. Now those shares are worth $3,000 each. So that's over $2 million. So think about what we were doing in 2007. We weren't thinking about no scares.
Oh, also, how old was he in 2007? Our age.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So you're doing it right.
But when I talked to him too, he was like, how old are you? And I said, I'm 23. And he was like, oh my gosh, I didn't start thinking about this stuff till like 32. He was like, you have a bright future ahead of you. Keep going.
No, for real. You really got to keep going because it's only up from here at this point. So please plug yourself to the listeners where they can find you, where they can learn more about what you do.
So you guys can find me on YouTube at Courtside Obi. That is my fashion and lifestyle channel. Mm-hmm. Instagram, Twitter, Courtside Obi as well. The finance channel, I don't really promote like that because obviously with the way that I'm investing, I'm taking on risk and I wouldn't want somebody to just come in and mimic my risk and then let's say it goes south and you're out of money, or you could, because I'm investing in some stuff that's pretty risky, but I'm doing my research and I'm managing my risk and I'm trying to make the best decision of when to like pull my money out, even though I'm long term. There's a lot of stuff going on with the things that I'm investing in because of the Trump administration specifically. Not to get political or anything, but that's just a fact with him passing a bill for the Senate to delist Chinese stocks. The biggest holding in my portfolio is Chinese, so that's something to watch out for. But obviously, we already said the name of the finance channel in this podcast, so if you want to tune in at your own risk. There's disclaimers. It's super important to make sure you do your own research.
Yes. So all the ads and links will be in the show notes. Thank y'all for listening. I'll be back next week for another interview. So thank you so much, Obi. And make sure y'all follow me on Instagram at UnorthodoxRail and rate the podcast, subscribe, share with your friends, and I'll see you in the next one.